Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are you?
Oh, I'm well.
Yes.
The sun is shining.
Spring has sprung.
Yes, it's exciting.
I do feel like there's always new hope, new energy, new everything.
And lots of mud.
Well, yeah. And the tiniest little snowbanks, don't you find
those? Oh, I know.
Fun to watch them shrink.
They're like living sculptures.
Yeah.
I have in my yard, it looks like a whale tail.
Oh.
Just the way that it melted. The
nice.
Dirty whale.
Yeah, the very dirty, grungy whale.
And every
tail.
Day I look and I think, oh, I wonder how much longer you'll be here.
Yeah. So. Every day it's changing.
Yes.
And yesterday I had to drive to Revelstoke.
Oh.
Yeah, I brought the Rolling Stock exhibition to the Revelstoke Railway
no
Museum.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I know.
How
I'm very excited.
Exciting.
It is so thrilling. So Laura, the manager there, is going to display it. She's setting it up, yeah, as we speak, and it'll probably be up all
cool.
summer at the Railway Museum there. Anyway, so we went to Revelstoke, and I'm not a really big skier. I only really have ever skied Silver Star and a mm-hmm. couple of other places in my life. Mm-hmm. So I haven't been to Revelstoke in the winter for any particular reason. Oh my gosh, like it's still like snowbanks.
Crazy snow,
you
hey?
Can still, like there's parts where you see a big snowbank, and then you see the corner of a truck. Like that was buried obviously all winter long, and now it's just starting to melt. And
yes.
You can see a little piece of it. I wonder how many things are just
under there,
completely under snow yeah. for 6 months of mm-hmm. the year there.
And that, like, it's almost a traffic hazard. The snowbanks are so high.
Yeah,
it's hard to sort of peek around the corner. I was there just a couple of weeks ago to bring my son skiing for the day, and it was just such a great way to spend a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, so you're a big skier at the...
Oh, but
you've done the vertical feet thing?
I could never ski Revelstoke.
No?
No, I'm not good enough for that.
Oh, well, then I'm definitely not good enough because you're way better skier
And you
than
can't
I am.
Really ski Revelstoke. What I like about Silver Star... we were going to get to our topic. But what I like about Silver Star is as a family, you can go and everybody can go and do their own thing and meet up for lunch. But
yeah.
Revelstoke isn't quite like that. You can't really be skiing by yourself.
Oh,
because there's things and hazards and
you just don't want to
take
the
get
risk
stuck in the backcountry.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Or at least I'm told I'm not to ski by myself.
Somebody
and the
said,
boys are
Louise?
Better than me. So I end up skiing by myself. It's just fine.
Oh
yeah.
But there's always Coco in the,
oh, for yeah. sure. I quite like skiing by myself.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's like going for a run or something, you know?
Yeah. 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 You hit that lovely yeah. sweet spot where you're going your speed.
Yep.
You don't have to try
my
to keep
thing,
up with somebody.
Not holding anybody up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about Far Out in Silver Star.
Like yes.
Lots of people find it terribly boring.
Yeah.
But I love it.
I love Far Out.
Because I just, I just scoot. Right?
Yeah. It's far out.
Yeah.
Like you just do your own thing.
Yeah.
It's hardly a hill at all.
Yeah.
But
it's just like going for a walk, but easier.
Yes. Far easier.
Yes.
Anyway,
okay.
I don't know how we got... Oh, you... So, we took... A Salmon Arm show is now showing in...
In Revelstoke, yeah.
In Revelstoke.
Yeah.
So look at us delivering culture.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is one of the ways that we're helping to combat climate change mm-hmm. is by sharing more resources between institutions. So, instead of inventing new wheels and, you know, creating new product... for our own exhibitions and then having that stuff just go into storage and then I don't even know what afterwards.
Like forever and ever and ever
yeah.
and ever. Yeah.
We, you know, kind of send out feelers and see who else might be interested in
and
showing this thing.
That's the strategic objective.
Yes. That's our 3-year focus for the Arts Council is to not just bring awareness to climate change, because I think we're all very aware of mm-hmm. climate change, but also to focus on mitigation and adaptation.
And you're reducing your greenhouse gas emissions by doing so.
We are.
Yes.
And we're embarking on a solar panel project.
Yes.
And we also put in 2 garbage cans in our bathrooms. This is not a sexy thing to talk
about,
but here's the thing. We put a garbage can for paper towel only,
yes.
put a big sign on it, paper towel only, and then a garbage can for everything else.
Yes.
And it's littler.
Mm-hmm.
We have cut the building's garbage in half.
Wow.
Because now the paper towel is recycled with paper recycling.
Yes.
It is unbelievable the yeah. reduction in landfill.
So you save money, you're not sending it to the landfill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like, whoa, why didn't we do this years
ago,
right?
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And we're replacing bulbs little bits at a time with LED.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the Pottery Club just went ahead and replaced a couple of their lights in their workspace in the wheel room with LED lights. So we're just, yeah. We're working it.
That's great. Good for you.
I think if everybody did this, then we would really reduce the need for extra energy resource extraction.
Like, I could live without I don't necessarily need to put any garbage out.
Yeah.
If I was careful and I composted everything and I recycled everything, I'm not, and I, you know, took all my refundables.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what would be garbage.
I know. Well, it's like us, like we see our neighbors have garbage out every week, but we only put garbage out about every 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And even then it's just a little bag.
Yeah.
So I don't really know why people are still making so much garbage when almost everything is recyclable.
Absolutely, almost everything is recyclable.
So it's strange.
But yeah.
It's education.
It is.
I guess we have to just...
I know. I think in 20 years you'll say, remember when we used to put bags of garbage on the side of the road and people would pick it up? That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's so many places that are working at zero waste, right? And I think that that'll just be normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Zero waste.
Organics is coming, I think. We'll be able to... put our organics at the curb.
And I also heard that there's a discussion, thank goodness, about using a blue box program rather than putting everything in blue bags.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's another thing that bugs me, is that here we're doing all these recyclable things and we're all buying thousands of blue bags to put the recyclables in. Well, why can't we put them in a box and then the, you know, the people that collect it just dump the box in their thing and then put the box back?
Yeah, preferably some sort of... So you're opposed to the...
Single-use plastic is
But then how many, think about this. I've had this conversation, I swear, 20 times lately. How many of those recyclable bags would it take to make one of those giant blue bins?
Well, the thing is, those giant blue bins are made from past plastic products. So we're already trying to use up, like people are mining plastics out of the landfills to make these things.
Oh, I see.
And then, so it's plastics that are post-consumer already. That are being used to make.
Okay. Them. So okay. That's the first argument I've heard.
Well,
that
I mean, that's
that I haven't said, well, you know, like a thin plastic bag is less than a giant plastic bin. That was my.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But if we're careful about what you buy, like make sure you read the label and make sure it's post-consumer plastic, right? So that they're not building new, you know.
Yeah. Cause oil. That would be.
Cause just, it's a petroleum product.
Yes, totally.
Right? So just make sure you're making, you know, making the right choice in terms of the content.
And of course you compost everything.
Yeah. We're big composters.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the single use plastic thing definitely has been my, you know, like a thing that's been driving me to probably make people a little bit upset because I keep doing things like bringing my own Tupperware containers to the grocery store thinking, can you put olives in this? And, you know, a lot of people just aren't sure what they're allowed to do with health things and everything. And I keep looking up, trying to find, you know, regulations and stuff, but I can't find any regulations that say they're not allowed to do it.
Well, now they're doing, there's grocery stores where there's no packaging.
Yeah. So we know
that's just
possible.
A matter of time before we get that here. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that it's a education thing again.
And it's a great feature of Salmon Arm that we think about these things.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're conscious people, I think, right? Okay. You know, we should talk about our topic
today. Yes. Well, I was trying to find a
you
segue.
You were making a segue and I interrupted.
Subtle,
sorry.
Subtle segue.
You're so subtle. Never really known to be subtle, but I like it. It's a good look on you.
Let's see.
You're trying to.
No, I'm looking at the time. Okay. Yeah. So we thought we'd talk a little bit more about the community branding project because we've achieved another, or rather the branding leadership committee has achieved another milestone in the project. And it's time to sort of check in and see how things are going. So maybe in the next few minutes, we can just sort of recap what it is that has been done so far.
So when all the research has been brought together and made into some little pockets of information and it's supposed to lead the branding committee and the branding consultants to figure out exactly what our
brand message is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What our brand personality is.
Okay. Right? Our brand personality.
Yeah.
And so far there was a pretty intensive community engagement.
Mm-hmm.
There were different sector circle engagements, right?
Yeah.
The arts, the manufacturing, the downtown, the, right?
Yep. And the youth.
Yeah, youth, creative workers. I was in on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they took all of that data, then they laid it over some actual quite advanced statistical analysis of 11 different indices. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they tried to get a sense of what the outside world was talking was saying about salmon arm, which is the harder thing to gauge, but
yeah, that is challenging. And I've had a bit of a reaction to that because of the cultural content there. Like I'm seeing no particular arts and culture representation in this whole thing, mostly because cultural programs were not represented well in the outside of salmon world. Arm.
Yeah. But from the community engagement piece, it did say we have good arts and culture.
Yeah. We have good arts and culture, but when you combine it with this outside piece, It doesn't look like we have much of a presence. So it didn't really make it into the whole fill, you know, like when we're actually talking about all the other factors. Because there are a lot of other factors, and health and safety were the two biggest things that people rated very high for salmon arm.
Yes.
Access to health care and a safe community.
Yes.
It rated high for what people want, and it rated high for what we actually have.
Yes, and I'm glad you pointed that out. And relative to... Right?
Yeah.
Because we compared, so it was 11 communities in all.
Yeah.
That we compared ourselves to.
Lots Kamloops, of things similar Kelowna, size, but lots of places that were, interior BC.
Yeah.
And then there was one in Ontario that was the same kind of size and situation in terms of distance from bigger centers. Yeah. So kind of a nice little comparison to these communities, but it really kind of helped us see, there are certain things that we don't believe about ourselves
true.
It's very interesting. And prosperity was the big surprise. Mm-hmm. Lots of people thought, there's no jobs here. And it turns out there's lots of jobs here. And not only that, but our income and the employment level, the income and the
ability
access
to work in your profession
and commute time.
Yes.
And like all of those things point to one of like the highest prosperity rating of these communities.
Of the 11.
Yeah. So I think
woot woot.
Exactly.
But people don't, you have to do the research, right? So I think people respond every time a new brand comes out, and communities aren't always very thoughtful about this. Like they'll just throw something up and hope it sticks and then wonder why there's pushback or have a contest or, you know.
Yeah. No, you
steal some logo from, you know, someone else or what, and adapt it a little bit. Like they're not, remember when Vancouver got in trouble because they tried to do this without engaging in the in the research part. Like it's not magic, it's research, right?
And yeah,
communities are massively complex organizations, and in fact every family is a massively complex organization. So you put all these 7,000 households together, plus all the businesses, plus like you've got a huge cluster of complicated organizations. So how do you come up with
a common way forward,
right?
I know. It's kind of impossible.
Well, I want to go on the record as saying that there are probably hundreds of ideas, hundreds of ways forward. But what we need to do as a community now is not so much pick and agree on one, but whatever is picked and agreed upon, go for it.
Yeah, we get behind it.
Everybody's got to get behind it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, that's definitely, that's a bigger conversation.
Yes.
The getting behind it part. Because there's so many ways to get behind
it. For sure.
It. And we're talking not just about people changing their own logos or taglines or whatever to match it, but it's about supporting the idea of
a strategic
tool.
You know, it's informed by the strategy, not the other way around.
Yeah. And then I think
people get that mixed up, right? They're like, oh, we have to be this now. No, actually this is here to serve you so that you can meet your objective.
Right.
Yes.
And working within a strategic framework is not necessarily instinctual, right?
Like no.
People have to learn how to work within a strategy.
Yes.
Okay. The branding of Salmon Arm and kind of part two of the whole process, because we're going into a time when there's been a drill down of the ideas and the brand personality and the key statistics and the drivers and all of the things that happen to inform the decision. But we are also trying to figure out how to not just... Louise is having a little bit of a coughing event. That's okay. We're also trying to figure out how we're going to best integrate this idea into our everyday lives, into business plans, into community engagement. And that is more challenging because some people aren't all on board already with this. And we're only at the stage where we've got three ideas. So I'm just going to talk about the target audiences now, because I think that when the research was done, a lot of people were thinking that we have to attract a certain kind of person to Salmon Arm, and that that was my perception, that certain organizations like economic development was interested in attracting new business, and tourism is interested in attracting tourists. And, you know, we have kind of all these different organizations working at attracting certain kinds of people to Salmon Arm for different reasons. And so it was really, part of this was about trying to understand who our target audiences actually are.
Yes.
And I really enjoy the conversation about boomerang talent. Mm-hmm. And that's because I've had conversations with people about why is it that everybody kept asking, you know, how do we keep our youth in town? How do we keep young people here? And we need to make more jobs and more opportunities for them to stay. But I've always believed that the best way to have a healthy community is to kick your kids out.
At least briefly.
Yeah. And make them go somewhere else. Make them travel the world. Make them go and have their educational experience in another city, get their first few years of experience, and still be this awesome community that they want to come back to.
Yes.
And then they bring all of that new information back to you.
Well, that it's very enriching.
Yes.
Yes.
And it turns out there's
a term.
Last
time I checked, you can't get an engineering degree in.
No, not
seminar.
And you can't get an engineering degree in every little town and city on the planet. There has to be some movement. Yeah. And I just love that there's a term for this, and that is
boomerang talent.
Yeah.
They go, they come back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the kinds of people mm-hmm. Salmon Arm wants to attract. So yes. That was a key target audience. Another one is the millennial piece.
Yes.
And that was an interesting discussion too, because people were saying, oh, millennials are so weird. They have to have, you know, they have to live in the middle of the city and have a nightlife and have this and that.
Millennials are so weird.
Sorry, that was a
blanket. Gen Xers and the baby boomers.
I think Gen Xers are a bit odd too, but yeah. That's, you know.
So are baby boomers.
Yeah. Well, we're all.
Everyone thinks the other one's weird.
Yeah. But yeah. I think we're all weird because we're different from each other.
We're different from each other.
That's it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
but there
okay.
are now. Newsflash, there are now more millennials than there are baby boomers.
What? That's pretty amazing, mm-hmm. actually. So,
because they're the echo.
Right.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, it turns out millennials are not really as different as we thought.
No.
You know, there's been a lot of, you know, spotlights on them because they are different. And they're approaching life differently. But now we're discovering that, you know, they really want the same things
sure.
as we do, but
a
they
place
just
to live, a family, a job they love, meaningful work, right?
Yeah.
Opportunities to do things.
Yeah. It's just that the structure of the world is changing so rapidly. Mm-hmm. They're able to take advantage of some of those changes, and they're making some of those changes. Whereas mm-hmm. maybe Gen Xers couldn't break out of the structures that the baby boomers were experiencing. And we are different just because we approach things differently. We might have
right.
pulled back on the, you know, the factory life, the 35-year career kind of idea, things like that, right? So we more pulled back, whereas millennials are kind of rebuilding.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think we laid the foundation for them myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that yeah. I like better. Yeah.
Yeah.
So millennials who are inspired by a quality of life
yes.
sort of piece mm-hmm. want to spend more time outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
Recreation is a bigger part of their life rather than necessarily nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of millennial that is our target audience.
Yes.
Of course, tourists and visitors mm-hmm. are a target audience because we live in a beautiful and clean and you know, inspiring environment
mm-hmm.
and a lake.
Yes.
Right? The lake has a big part to play there.
And a healthy lake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not entirely covered with boats yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a more enjoyable experience
yes.
for, yeah. And a fourth target audience, high-tech manufacturing businesses.
Yes.
Which, you know, we talked about the last time we talked about branding, we talked about how surprising it was to have so many tech businesses in mm-hmm. town. Like, you don't even see them. They're invisible. But there's like 76 tech businesses mm-hmm. in Salmon Arm.
And over 600 employees.
Yeah.
And they're high, you know, it's talent. It's tech talent.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking for tech talent. This shortage was predicted and was predicted for this region. So mm-hmm. so we've known this is coming. I think this whole community branding exercise with 11 different groups is a recognition that,
yeah,
okay, we need to get ready now. We need to do this now.
Yeah. And so attracting that more of that kind of business benefits Salmon Arm because, mm-hmm. I mean, then we actually, you know, we're dealing with work of the future.
Yeah, and they work collaboratively.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, guess what? We're going to bring in your worst nightmare competitor to beat the pants off you. That's not how it works. It's a cluster. The more the more businesses are in it, the stronger it gets.
Yeah.
Like the Silicon Valley cluster, but not that.
Yeah. But that's the concept.
Yes.
And it's good to think about.
Well, it's not even a concept. It just is. It's a cluster. Yeah.
Well, it's just, that's the thing, right? About sort of the nature of work now. We have to recognize that things have changed. Mm-hmm. And it's not about competition as much anymore as creating these.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas, see, like in Kelowna, there's an emerging tech culture. And they do animation, game development, app development.
Yeah.
That's emerging. Ours is not emerging. Ours is a well-established tech culture. It's not game development. It's not animation. It's manufacturing technologies.
Yeah. And so, and we've got a great history already.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And so then it's about bringing in like tech workers that actually support those things.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah. And then the education piece comes in, you know, whether it's the college or the universities are clearly tied to clusters.
Yeah.
I think hopefully Okanagan College is heading in that direction. We know the school district is heading in that direction. We know the innovation center is part of that direction where we're feeding the cluster.
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then the last piece of the target audience is entrepreneurs and innovators. Mm-hmm. And of course, I think every community would be after innovators because those are the people that keep your community always fresh and meeting the needs and, you know, just making sure that opportunities are grabbed and enjoyed and suited to the community.
Yeah. And people who are driven to innovate or to invent, you know, they need support and it's hard to do that alone.
Yeah.
And it's harder to do it alone in a big city where you don't necessarily know anyone. Whereas I find in Salmon Arm, people will, you know, teamwork makes the dream work and people like to help you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And because people like their success is our success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people like to share ideas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm one of those people that probably has thought a dozen times, you know, over my lifetime, oh my gosh, you know what I should invent is blah. Mm-hmm. And I've got this brilliant idea that somebody should make, somebody should prototype that. And I would never in a million years have the resources or the connections or the community to even do such a thing. But I would love to share that idea with somebody.
For sure.
And I think as a community, we like to do that all the time.
All the time.
So the more innovators you have in your community where you can have these discussions.
The likelihood of it happening is far greater.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now that we have a 3D printer people can use, you make your own prototype.
Yeah. Isn't that actually a whole game changer?
Yeah.
Right? Wow. Anyway, so those are our audiences that we identified that we want to attract to Salmon Arm. And of course, the people that we want to retain. This is the other piece of that.
Yeah, it's not just about attracting, it's about retention too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so the key
because this town is already pretty stuffed full of talent.
Yeah, we do. Mm. It's about making sure that we have the infrastructure, the you know, the all the places kind of organized such that people feel like they can thrive here and make a success of their ideas.
I was just gonna say it's a living entity, right? It needs to be fed, it needs to be watered, it needs sunshine, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't you can't just say, oh no, the plant is perfect right now. Let's not do anything.
Yeah.
Because guess what?
Yeah, that will just die.
It will die.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to keep feeding it.
Mm-hmm. So the feed part comes a little bit from the branding because you're kind of focusing the energy, right? When you come up with a brand for your community, you're saying, we've got to focus. Let's focus on this collectively. We'll give it lots of energy and that makes the message easier.
Yeah. That's keep your eye on the prize, right?
Yeah.
If everybody's got their eye on a similar type prize, we'll probably get there faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like Dolores and I were just having this conversation at the gallery because we were talking about just how things have changed over the last 15 years that I've been there. And we kind of recognized how well it's worked because we had a common vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if we had differing visions, who knows what, you know, weirdness.
Well, no, because then you spend all your time talking about, well, my vision's better. No, my vision's better. No, my vision's better. And then you don't get any work done, right? Because the truth is there are hundreds of manifestations of whatever it is this thing is, right? It's just, we just need to, you know, find a common narrative that's flexible enough so that everyone can work towards that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have
three
possibilities.
Three possibilities.
And that is the next stage of this whole process, is kind of evaluating those three ideas, the personality traits, and saying what best suits us, what's the best use of our energy, how can we integrate that into our
authentic narrative, the most meaningful, the most memorable, right? Because it has to, it's got a big job to do. This is not an easy job.
Right. Okay, do we have time to actually introduce those? We've got like 2 minutes or something.
Two minutes, yeah.
Okay, so why don't we just, all three of them are Start Fresh.
Yes.
Which is like a call to action to people who are reconsidering their life and potentially want to start over.
Yes.
But it also talks about starting fresh.
Fresh ideas.
In your current business.
Or eating fresh food. Or,
exactly. Mm-hmm. The fresh produce, because produce accessibility was a big part of the, you know, of our attractants and our features that other communities don't necessarily have. Yes, fresh water, fresh air, the recreational piece. So starting fresh can mean a whole lot of things. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it doesn't have to mean you leave the big city and come here. It means that maybe you've worked in the same job for 20 years here and you want to start your own business and say, I'm going to start fresh.
Yeah.
So that's a lovely narrative to have that can be used across the board. Small city, big ideas.
Yes.
That's a big one.
Yes.
Lots of people love that one because the tech industry is like the innovative, you know, like the big idea thing. But we're this small, containable, safe place that doesn't seem to be to have big city issues.
Yes.
And so we're feeling pretty comfortable.
Yeah. I like the contrast there.
Yeah.
Small, big. Yeah. I always, it's much easier to work when you have contrast, so you can make like relative comparisons.
Ah, yes. Contrast is good in art too.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to a statement where you're like, well, as opposed to what?
Yeah.
An unfresh start, right? Or a stale start. So that's just how my brain works.
Yeah.
I like having that option of having more buttons to push.
Ah, yeah. Interesting. And then the third one is connect to your future.
Yes.
And that came from, because the word connect came up a lot in all of these different, you know, focus groups and the consulting piece and the one-on-ones. Connect was kind of a value that Salmon Arm people share.
Yes.
We like to connect as a community. We like to connect with nature.
Yes.
We like to connect with our friends.
With the internet. We have high-speed fiber optics. We have...
Exactly. Yeah.
I think part three will be the graphics.
Yeah.
And part four will be the, okay, we need to get to work
the
now.
The plan.
Yeah.
Well, and how to actually integrate it.
Yes.
Into every, like the nonprofits, the businesses, the,
how we integrate it. Sure. And what media plan. Like, it's all well and fine to come up with a great tagline and some great visuals, but really the important part is how are we going to use it and how are we going to measure whether or not it was effective, right?
So in case you missed the show about part one, one of the things that I like to compare to is Squamish, because Squamish went through this whole process, and their tagline is hardwired for adventure.
Yes.
Which is so perfect, because they are a very adventure seeking community.
Yes.
And they are big in tech as well. And their proximity to Vancouver has been a benefit to them. So it worked, you know, in that level, kind of grabbing those two big parts of the community and meshing them like that.
Yes.
And I think one of the challenges for Salmon Arm was that we had more than two aspects that we all wanted to mesh. So coming up with even three possibilities of this concept of meshing something.
Yes.
That was clearly bigger and nebulous and, you know, than we ever imagined, is a huge miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, the first thing I want to say is we are well indeed a small city with big ideas where you can start fresh and connect your future, but that is a mouthful.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, of those three, you know, which tells, again, the most authentic, the most memorable, the most meaningful story based on what our strategic objective is and the target audience we're trying to reach.
Yeah.
Right. So even in and of itself, there's some data we could use, compare this to the data that's already existing.
Yeah. This is really big. I'm asking you a question.
Okay.
How do we all own this?
Yes.
And make it like work? How, like, logistically do we each take this, whatever we decide on, and make it fit within our current, like, you know, I'm just thinking of the Arts Center as a good example. The city, the municipal government is another example. How do we take this and make it fit within that narrative.
Yes. Okay. So first I'll talk about how we don't do that, right? How do we not do it?
Okay.
Like what should we not be doing? And so the first thing we have to do is embrace that it's all going to be okay. And everything's going to work out fine.
There's no disaster, right? When it comes
because
to
right
this.
Now I'm seeing a tiny bit of, what is this? What are we doing? Maybe we need to rethink it. I don't like any of them, or that's a dumb idea, or, yeah. You know,
kind I've of heard the, some of that too, but this, every community has gone through this.
Yeah. And you, and those opinions are so important and all valuable. Like, I'm not trying to poo poo people who complained about it. I mean, certainly if you really had nothing genuinely, you know, useful to say, I could have done without some of those comments, but, because not on social media, but personally, you know, I'm getting a little bit of pushback on some of it too. And I feel like, okay, but you know what, just saying that's dumb and I don't like it, that doesn't really
that's not helping anybody.
Right. So that's the first step, is we have to all agree that it's going to be great and we're going to rock this and we're going to figure it out. The next thing is for the organizations who've contributed their time and effort to this to think about their own strategy, right? Mm-hmm. And where does it fit for us?
Right.
Right. So, start fresh for the art gallery. How would you make that fit?
Yeah.
How do you line it up with your own strategic objectives? Well, we already talked about climate change. Mm-hmm. We already talked about a solar project, right?
Yeah.
We already talked about all the engagement you've been doing on that level. That is starting fresh for you.
We start fresh with every exhibition.
Every, you know, right?
Yeah. And every year that
so
we
then
do.
So then does it mean that you have to have start fresh on every single poster ever do? No, but exactly. It's part of the narrative that you tell.
Right.
Right? So here at the gallery, we're getting a fresh start.
Yeah.
And this is how we're doing it, right? So it's your job to take the message and match it with your strategy and put it together in a meaningful, memorable way. So it's going to look different.
Yeah.
Right?
Can I also just say that is a skill. Working within, like I said before the break, working within a strategic framework is a skill not many of us have. Mm-hmm. And we are not even sure how to function. Everybody's been so used to just pedaling as fast as they can, getting from one thing to the next, that we don't think about 5-year strategies, 3-year strategies even. And I think that's a fairly new concept.
Yes. And so whether you're Community Futures or Downtown Salmon Arm or Shuswap Tourism, any of these will work.
Yeah.
Depending on...
But it's like we need
But you have to
training.
Match them to your... Yes, you absolutely
need training. On how to make it work.
Yeah, and brand standards and...
And can that and be so a part so of this forth. Process?
Well, I think it'll end up being a part of the process. Yeah. But the groups will have to commit to it in their way, on their time, on their dime, right? Yeah. But let's just do a real live scenario. So we already know how we can make Start Fresh work for... the art gallery or the District Arts Council's mandate. Now, could we make Small City Big Ideas work?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right?
It could be... Big Ideas is kind of what we do.
Small gallery, big ideas.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Small City Big Show.
Yeah.
Right? And so you start to, you know, Small City Big Sound, Small City Big Color. Like, so then you start to see like, oh yeah, okay, we could totally make this work for the art gallery.
Yeah.
Right? And...
But you see... I didn't even think of those things until you just said them.
Yes.
So I think everybody, and I think I'm a fairly creative
person.
We
need to be thinking
everybody
about
needs
the
to
elasticity
have,
of this thing. So,
but we all need a little bit of Louise in our lives in order to make this work.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's about picking the right one. I think it's about picking the one that's most elastic.
Yeah.
The most, has the most extension in it.
Yeah.
You know, like I tell my students, elasticity is like, you know, those the elastics that they use for the broccoli, which are really hard to pull. We can't have one of those.
Yeah.
We need like the skinny elastics that'll like fit a person in them, you know. That's the kind of elasticity we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not broccoli.
Not a broccoli. Poor broccoli gets a bad name from me.
You did bash broccoli a few shows ago too about
something else. I said I didn't want to be broccoli. I wanted to be broccoli and cheese.
Yes.
Yes. So then connect to your future. Mm-hmm. Could that be used in light of the District Arts Council's strategy?
That one I find a bit more challenging.
Yes.
We are, because we are dealing with climate change and that sort of thing, I think that's a future thing. But connectivity part, we're I mean, I guess we could, because the connecting part is definitely what we do.
Meet a friend you haven't met yet. Connect to your future Salmon Arm Art Gallery, right?
Yeah, I suppose we could probably.
And so every group's going to need to have this conversation.
Yeah. That's at the stage where we're still trying to decide of the three, which would be our most elastic that we could use, that you have to kind of go through this process. Yes. How can we use each of these ideas in our own way and then make a decision? Don't make a decision based on how sounds or how many syllables or who's, what other community has.
And I would venture to guess that every single group will say, I could make that one work. Oh, I can make that one work. Oh, I can make that one work too.
Yeah.
Right. And so then what you rank them, right? And then whatever gets ranked first is what you go with, because everyone can make either of them work.
Yeah.
Because they're based on solid statistical research and analysis.
Yes. Well, that's true. And actually, that's why all three are here at the finish line. Mm-hmm. Because any three could work. Any of the three could
work. Now, the one danger, though, is if to say, oh my gosh, there isn't a clear favorite. We should go back to the drawing board. I'm sure every single community who's ever gone through a branding exercise has had that thought. I don't know that this, I mean, the committee hasn't.
I don't think
meeting
so.
In a bit. Okay.
Yeah. No, I think everybody actually is pretty excited about the
three.
Okay.
Well, that's
three.
Good to hear, because what happens sometimes at this point is everybody gets like buyer's remorse,
Or like,
oh my gosh,
when
are we done? It's never going to work. How's it going to, And sometimes the whole thing is like a complete shutdown or it goes in a completely different direction, right?
Yeah.
But that would be the worst possible outcome, because you're almost, it's like, runners hit the wall.
Yeah.
This is where you hit walls in branding.
Right. Well, and this is the first time so many of us have done this.
Yes.
Because logos are a different story,
right?
Oh,
no, it's not about a logo. It's about an identity.
And we've all
It's about a USP, a unique selling position.
Yeah.
So what is our unique selling position?
Yeah. And this is a thing that nonprofits are not used to dealing with.
No.
You need to train us how to think about this.
Well, and the thing is, if you don't... I could just go on about it.
It's okay. Go on
in circles. But the communities that have been successful have gone through this, and this is one of the pain points, and we have to keep going.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because otherwise, it just keeps happening.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to soldier on, do some ranking, have some honest conversation. This one I can work with. This one won't help me out at all. And then come up with, a democratic approach to the most versatile and the most elastic possibility.
I'm sorry, I just keep coming back to the training piece. Mm-hmm. I almost think that maybe the brand committee needs to actually have these one-on-one conversations with as many groups as want to do this to help them understand that they've got to imagine themselves in each of them first before we can even help make that decision.
Well, I mean, I think it'd be a very good exercise for each of the groups to be led through a workshop where you have to, on behalf of your organization, come up with, of the three, can we use this one? Can we use this one? Could we use this one based on our strategic objective?
Yeah.
And of the three, which would do we rank? And you'll see it's there. The answer's there.
Yeah.
The pattern, the patterns are in the data. It's like art. You see the pattern. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, hey, there it is. Boom, done. Right?
You can see that.
Yes, I can see that.
A lot of people can't.
No, I know. And so, but that's the other piece is this is a... It's a maturing step for Salmon Arm, right? And it's been something we've been talking about for 15 years.
Yeah.
But we weren't ready. Mm-hmm. And like Barry Delaney, who's the chair of the marketing committee or the brand leadership team, said it was timing.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't want to miss the time.
Yeah.
Right?
This is a good time.
And Salmon Arm's done, my impression... Salmon Arm has in the past peered over the edge, right? But didn't want to be the first one to go. So pulled back a bit. But what happens sometimes is then you miss that window.
Yeah. And the opportunities that come with it.
Yeah.
Because things have been happening whether we have a brand or not.
Yes.
Right? So it's really about making the best possible outcome for all of these things that are kind of already happening.
Yes, and so you want to maximize every single dollar spent on improving this community.
Yeah.
It's important to have this community brand.
Yeah.
And it's important to discuss this community brand and debate the community brand, it is not important to diss it.
Yeah.
Bashing there, is I said not, it.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
And bashing has never been a constructive mm-hmm. part of any process. Mm-hmm. So, I'm happy that I'm having the conversation mm-hmm. with quite a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people are saying, I don't get it. But for me, it's an opportunity to explain.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's important not to be too literal about it too.
Yeah.
We're just thinking about, again, relative contrast as opposed to what, right?
Yeah.
And so people say, well, how come we can't have Heart of the Shoe Shop?
Yeah, it's not.
That's come up. But Heart of the Shoe Shop is not a unique selling proposition, right? It's not a competitive advantage.
Yeah.
And it absolutely is lovely. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Or we have the, you know, home of the longest wooden curved inland wharf, which
too many words. Yeah.
A great, unique, beloved place in the community, but it's a literal. It's not an, you know, It's not telling a greater story. Because, right, what we're trying to do is tell a collective narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Which is not easy.
No.
But nothing worth doing is easy.
Exactly.
I know. I sound like my mother. Nothing worth doing is easy.
It always comes back. Yeah. It's fine.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll be right back. It's zipping by so fast. This is an excellent conversation to have. And I hope we're converting people as we speak.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, you can't be a Sam and Armenian this past couple of weeks and not know about what our dramatic moment is.
Oh, it's so delightfully dramatic.
Yes.
Moment. Yes.
So,
and it's more of a community moment.
It's definitely a community moment. And this is what happens when people excel and they're from Sam and Arm and you go, what?
Yes.
So Natalie Wilkie went off to the Paralympics and didn't just get a silver.
Yeah.
Got a gold. She got a full set.
The trifecta. And she's only 17.
Yes. And so we're so proud of her and we're so excited. And what's, I think the most dramatic, not the most dramatic, what was dramatic was that just in preparation for this dramatic moment, I thought, well, I'll Google Natalie Wilkie to see. She's got her own Wikipedia page now.
Wow, that is wicked.
Now you've really succeeded when you get your own
Wikipedia page.
So there she is. The Paralympian 2000.
So today, if you're listening live at 11, so she's probably on the fire truck right now, getting a little tour through town with the fire chief to celebrate her accomplishments. I saw some signs downtown.
Yeah.
And then at noon, they'll meet back at the plaza at City Hall, and there'll be balloons and food and opportunities to say congratulations.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It was so exciting.
It's so exciting.
And from what I understand, there was no particular expectation from her this time around. She was really just wanting to have the experience and prepare for 2022, right?
Yeah.
And you just can't help it when you're spectacular, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So that was so exciting
and
for the whole
community. For Larch Hills and so great for the Olympic movement. And I mean, we have Olympians here.
We do.
Several.
Yeah. We should actually start thinking about having some kind of Olympian, like, community holiday.
Yes.
Because there's quite a few of them now.
Yes.
And they just keep coming.
Yep.
So maybe we should make a thing out of
Absolutely. And she can, well, she's my favorite of all of our Olympians, it's true. We have more than people might think, but, today is Natalie's day and Natalie's family's day and
and of course the whole community has just been, you know, loving and supportive and excited for her. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing about Sam and Arm, right?
We
care and we support each other.
Yes.
And you know, we love to connect in this way.
That's true. That's the ultimate community brand.
Yeah.
We love and support each other.
Aw, maybe we'll just go with that.
We
love and support each other.
I've given this a lot of thought over the years, and I would always, if I were in charge of the town, which I'm not, by the way.
If you were mayor.
No, even the mayor's not in charge. The community's in charge of the town. But if I had my own town and it looked just like this and it was made up of all the people that were here, my brand would be happy here.
Oh, actually, I like that. I could work with that.
Right? Because it's a service promise. It's something you might not get somewhere else. But that's utopian Louise land.
Yeah.
We'd be happy here.
You could work with the agriculture industry too, mm-hmm. because they would use the bee.
Yes.
I like it.
Right? Versatile.
We could be all about happiness.
Yes.
I could.
Which
I could
was last week's.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it might be too nebulous. But again, this is utopian Louise.
No, no. See, now I'm thinking in Louise terms. Like, how do I make this work with my organization?
Yes, that's the next part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Or how do I make it work with my business? Or how do I make it work with my family? Or how do I make it work with what I'm trying to do?
Yeah.
My team, you know, my group that I belong to. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And a part of this is how the municipal government makes it fit within their thing,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, regardless, it has to be aspirational. It can't be matter of fact.
Yeah. Right? But I'm thinking in terms of what this looks like. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't help it. I'm a visual person, mm-hmm. right? So how does this look later? And I know that logo development is a different part of this process, and color, and, you know, the look and feel thing is a whole different idea and will be probably a process that we go through
for sure
post choice. But the city has committed to adapting this idea.
Yes. And over time, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there will be changes in how, like, maybe even branding the downtown mm-hmm. area, and like city trucks will have a different look,
yes.
and, you know, things like that are going
to
happen.
And so we'll have to, it's not like, boom, here's a logo, use it.
Yeah.
You know, use it or lose it. That's not what this is.
No.
It's going to have to be a design system.
Yeah.
That can be adapted to, so there'll be elements that you can use and standards that you, by which you must comply to those standards so that you don't weaken the brand. So the Squamish example is very good, because it's a community brand. It's on certain things in the downtown. Mm-hmm. It's on certain elements of the city. It's on, right? So it's slowly been integrated.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like a nice ribbon that kind of wraps everything together.
Yeah.
So regardless of whether you're downtown, uptown, at a chamber meeting, at a tourism meeting, you see the pattern. Mm-hmm. Like, this all belongs together.
Yeah. So are organizations like ours expected to change our logo in the long term to fit this idea? Or can we just do things like adapt a different color scheme?
I think you could adapt.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think every organization is going to have to make that decision. Some organizations have a national brand that they can't necessarily deviate from too much. Some have a very well-established brand that they can't vary. So maybe they adopt more the concept or the campaign idea. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, do we want to talk about our preference?
Sure.
Okay. So my preference is small city, big ideas. Because I find it the most elastic.
Yeah.
Right?
And you're a marketing and design person. You see the values in words.
Well, because I can already see the campaigns like small city, big ideas. And then it features an actual big idea in a small city. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the story of company XYZ in the industrial park who made this amazing thing that nobody else could make. You could only get it done here because we're a small city with big ideas.
Ah, yes.
Right? Boom. Done. I can see it. Next thing, Roots and Blues. Small city, big sound.
Yeah.
Right? And then this is the story of Roots and Blues, 25 years, you know, hundreds of acts. People come every year from all over the world. Blah, 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 blah. Small city, big sound.
Yeah.
Right? So then you're tying it all together. Right?
Yeah.
Small city, big flavor.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Small city, big color. Small city, big style. Like,
yeah. Okay, I see it. I see
small city, epic.
You're converting me.
Right?
Because I didn't like that one at first.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't. Yeah.
I didn't see the possibilities with that.
Yeah.
All I heard was small town.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't, for me, it wasn't about the way to mold it to work with individual mm-hmm. events or mm-hmm. businesses or anything. It was about the people might accidentally say small town.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go down that road because the small town
we're not a small town. No.
But the small town feel was identified as one of the, you know, the flavors of Salmon Arm that makes it so desirable to live in because you kind of feel like you're living in a small town.
Well, I think the small is what limiting. Was identified.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
But the small town idea is also something that repels certain people.
Yes, no, fair enough.
So Yeah, so that's why I wasn't totally in favor of that one. My preference was start fresh.
Yes.
And I think it's because I felt like the idea of starting fresh happens to all of us all the time.
Yes.
It's not necessarily just about attracting, you know, people from Vancouver who are selling their houses for billions of dollars and then coming here and being able to start fresh because they've got this little pile of money.
Yeah.
And I think that a conversation that I had, that was the first impression. Oh, people have to come here to start fresh and do something new.
No, we but can start fresh.
Exactly. Yeah. But I feel like that happens all the time. Within, like when you're a resident here, you know, like I look at my backyard and I think, you know
it's
what?
Time to get a,
it's just time to take this out and start fresh.
Oh, that's what I'm
going to
say next time I look at my yard. Oh, start fresh.
Yeah.
And I love start fresh too. I can see it.
Yeah. And then I
don't
the,
know that it's not a broccoli elastic, but I don't think it's got
it's
the
not
range.
Quite as big and rubbery.
Yes.
Well, I'm seeing that now because of just what you'd said about fitting the organization into the pieces.
And the other piece of it, and I've said this to others, I'll say it to everyone else too. There's a little bit of melancholy in start fresh, like as if you're coming from a sad place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I need a fresh start.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And so that's me. I'm very emotional, hard on my sleeve. If someone said to me, do you need a fresh start? I'd probably start crying. Yeah, I do need a fresh start. It's been really rough. Right.
Because you're part of your personal philosophy is building on what exists already.
Yeah. So to me, a fresh start would be like, oh man,
yeah,
screwed it up. I gotta pack it in and start all over. Right. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But that's just my personal. That's not a professional view. It's just my personal relationship to those. That kind of instruction would make me feel like, oh, I screwed up. I do need a fresh start. Right.
That's so interesting because my personal feeling about it is that it allows me to just wipe the slate clean. Mm-hmm. And I just starting fresh means, okay, like
I love start and I love fresh.
Yeah.
I think there's some elasticity
there. And that might be a
there.
Great name for a business.
Yeah.
Right. But not necessarily for the whole community. Mm-hmm. I get it. But I also feel like as an artistic, you know, person, sometimes you have to, Robert Ginn had a great phrase. There is wisdom in abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's okay to say this didn't work.
That didn't work.
Wipe the slate clean, start again.
Yeah. We talk about failure all the time.
And I feel like there's so much value in that. Starting fresh has like an ability for us to explore new ideas in a different way. We're not trying to integrate old ideas or new ideas into an old pattern.
Yeah.
We're like, let's start again. So I kind of feel like it has that quality.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Old city, big ideas. Haney Heritage Park.
Ah.
Right?
Yeah.
Old city, new ideas. So there's just a lot of contrast there. Anyway,
okay.
Belaboring the point.
I get
okay, but let's talk about connect to your future. Do we have time?
Two minutes.
It's good. It's true. It covers different highway, fiber optic, youth, boomerang talent, millennials, all of those things. It feels a bit literal to me.
Yeah.
So it's hard to be imaginative with.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like a plug-in feel.
Yeah.
I don't see the potential in that one as much as the other two.
Yeah.
In terms of flexibility.
Right. And I hope this conversation will happen all over town.
Yeah.
And because we need to do this. It's good for us.
And we need to talk
like
about it.
Broccoli.
Yes. We just sometimes need to do
The broccoli lobby is going to be after me, but anyway.
Hey, that's a good segue to our sponsor.
Oh, there we go.
Nice. I'll bet you could get great broccoli at DeMille's Farm Market.
Soon.
Broccoli is a cold weather crop, so very soon you'll be getting some excellent broccoli.
Oh, how convenient. Of course you would know that.
Yeah.
I would know the first thing about it. I just go for the corn. That's my go-to.
Yeah. Well, like I keep saying, like I'm very pleased to have.
That's the only one I know when it's ready. Like I watch for the corn.
Yeah. So that's a wonderful thing.
Lovely.
We're connecting to our future.
Yes, we're connecting to our future. Oh my gosh.
So
I hope this is podcast so we can listen to it again in a year from now.
Oh yeah. I wonder what will happen.
What will happen?
It's so exciting. It kind of is exciting.
It is.
The whole thing is a wonderful process and it's been very engaging and very inclusive, I think. And so, we're going to get somewhere great
from
all
this. I think
so too. Yeah. All right. So just a reminder, arts events information can be found on Salmon Arm Arts Center's website, salmonarmartcenter.ca. You can click on participate to get a listing of arts events by date. Also, check out Shoes Up Events. There's so much going on because it's spring and it's a happy time.
Yes.
And people are getting out. There's a cleanup day. There's like just so much things, so many things to do.
So many things to do.
Things to do.
Yes.
In the shoe swap.
Yes.
That brings up another whole
thing. Yeah.
Anyway, it's been a great week. Have a good week, everyone.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye for now.